Yeah, thank you very much, operator. Yeah, hello, everybody. This is Claus Ehrenbeck speaking. Welcome to our today's conference call. Also, on behalf of the entire team, we are pleased that you join us here this afternoon. With me here on the line are Heinrich Schiesinger and Guido Kerkhoff. Both will walk you through their presentations, and I would like to immediately hand over to Heinrich, who's going to start.
Yeah, welcome to our Q1 conference call. I think Q1 again proved that we have made significant further progress on our strategic way forward, and that our performance program again added significant to our profitability, so we could drive our EBIT adjusted significantly up again on a year-on-year basis, and this is now the third year in a row. It's broadly carried because all BAs, apart from MX, which had been impacted by the strike at AST, improved on a year-on-year basis. Let me jump on the situation on AST. We had to take a tough stand and accept the consequences on a strike, but the positive thing is it led us to an agreement in December. Up to today, nearly 300 employees have left the companies. We will have immediate cost savings starting in January. We are now rearranging the shift planning, and with that, we believe we can be back in a normal operation in Q3. But most important, the agreement which we have signed in December is not sacrificing at all our overall target for 100 million savings, including all measures. At Elevator reported the ninth quarter in a row with year-on-year improvement of the adjusted EBIT and the margin, despite a strike at the French operations, which are, as you know, subject to a major restructuring program. Again, here, I think the culture which we want to establish is, if we have an issue, we tackle it, and we take the consequences maybe in a quarter or two, to have the better performing going forward. And it's a matter of fact that if you look at new installations, France is the worst performing market in Europe. Steel Europe reported a significant increase of the EBIT adjusted and the margin, despite the production constraints, which were caused by the delayed completion of a new build caster. Steel Americas reported a significant increase of the EBIT adjusted to break even. Again, this was a good message and a good move because also here we had the repair of a converter and some negative FX effects on our sales tax asset. The major driver was again the traction of the impact program, which remains therefore very visible. In the first quarter, we have achieved 250 million EBIT effects, which represents 30% of the full year target of 850 million. So consequently, we feel very comfortable to achieve the target for the year and thus the overall target of 2.5 billion for the entire three-year program. The order intake has been very solid, with book-to-bill slightly above one, despite the fact that we did not book a big-ticket order in our fiscal one. Our capital goods business areas, apart from IS, which did benefit from a big-ticket submarine order a year ago, all others could increase their orders on a year-on-year basis. And what is important to say, industrial solution, excluding marine systems, was also up year on year. Elevator improved orders and backlog to a record high despite the aforementioned strike in France. Material orders went down quarter on quarter, reflecting the aforementioned production constraints at Steel Europe and Americas, as well as the strike at AST. The order backlog at our elevator and project businesses remains high, and therefore it provides a solid basis for the targeted profitable growth and covers already 88% of this year's sales at our industrial solution business areas. Net debt increased quarter on quarter, as we had told you already in November last year, reflecting a few aperiodic items on our net working capital side, which, for example, is the normalization of inventories following the realignment of the blast furnace. Given the solid progress, top and bottom line, we feel comfortable to reiterate and confirm our full-year guidance. Let me come to the present market environment. First of all, let me again emphasize that our direct exposure to Russia and the Ukraine is limited, as less than 1% of our sales is coming from there. However, important parameters affecting our business environment have experienced major changes over the past 6 months and since the beginning of our reporting year. The oil price has halved and exchange rates have significantly shifted. The euro has depreciated sharply against the US dollar. From a today's standpoint, the sustainability of these developments and the timing and intensity cannot be fully calculated. But clearly, from an overall statement, lower energy prices and a declining interest in a fixed rate in themselves should be beneficial for the private consumption, for investments, and for our competitiveness out of Europe. So, especially the export-oriented business from Germany in the automotive industry should benefit from the low oil price. It should be positive that we have the weak euro, as more than 50% of all cars in Germany are exported, and above all, 70% of those markets are financed, which again will be driven by positively by low interest rates. So if we add overall, we expect net a positive impact on ThyssenKrupp. So our overall statement is the economic upside and downside risk appear more balanced than before. So also we state that we believe that moderately there is a positive economic outlook. We need to keep in mind that this is not risk-free and uncertainties clearly remain to exist. Nevertheless, as long as there are no further developments out of geopolitical crisis, we expect further significant progress on our way forward. So we expect EBIT adjusted to improve at least to 1.5 billion with performance up across all BAs. We expect therefore a clearly positive and further improvement in net income, and most important, after many negative years, free cash flow excluding cash in from divestment, we expect clear further progress to at least break even before divestment, despite the weak start in Q1. So all in all, we confirm our full year outlook in all dimensions. On the order side, all in all, our businesses held up well in an overall still challenging economic environment. Group orders came to 10.1 billion, with book-to-bill slightly above one. And once again, we benefited from our solid positions in our capital goods BA. Component Technology recorded again strong gains quarter and quarter and year on year, lifting order to the highest level in 10 quarters. Year on year orders were up 13% to 1.6 billion or 9% on comparable days, benefiting from the ramp up of new products and plants and especially from an increased demand from assembled axle modules. The demand recovery for orders and industrial components is continuing. Demand and production of light vehicles development is extremely positive in China and in the US, and the recovery in Western Europe continues. Truck markets remain difficult with the exception of the US. The business environment for wind turbines, especially in China, improved, while construction equipment markets remain weak. Elevator could lift orders to a new record level of nearly 1.9 billion and could match adjusted for exchange rate to the high level a year ago, where we had carryover effects from the implementation of our ERP system. We could take advantage of the favorable market conditions in North America, of the continued strong new installation demand in China and in South Korea, as well on the ongoing growing in our service backlog. Elevator backlog increased therefore to a new high of 4.3 billion. Orders at IS, excluding the big ticket order from submarine, went up by around 5%, securing good visibility and a high backlog. On a chemical side, the interest for fertilizer and polymer plants, especially from U.S., continues. Customers ask us for quotations because the gas price is still attractive. Clearly, we do expect that decision-making might be postponed a little bit, but the funnel is still very active. In other areas, we could win two bigger orders for electrolysis plants in mid-two-digit million range in France and Cuba. The development in cement is very favorable. We see sustained high demand for cement plants driven by infrastructure growth in emerging markets, as well as in North America, driven by low energy prices. Here we could win a sizable order to build the most technologically advanced and environmental-friendly cement plant of its kind for McInnis Cement in Canada. On the mining side, it's obvious we have an ongoing lower demand on new installations, but a high order backlog and a growing importance of service and repair business, which should in partly compensate the reduction in new installation. Here we could win a sizable order for open pit handling equipment for coal and limestone in India. The auto plant business has very good conditions in US, Europe and China, as well as a number of project opportunities in the aerospace industry. In marine system, we only gained some smaller service order, but given the big ticket order a year ago, it was obviously that here we had a significant reduction, but as you might have read in the newspaper today, it was announced that we will be able to book a further submarine order in the coming month. In an environment with a very intensive price competition, in particular at our materials businesses, which were moreover also affected by the production constraints, our capital goods business areas were once again the key drivers for our organic growth in sales. Overall, group sales came to 10 billion, up 11% year-on-year reported, and up 5% on a comparable basis adjusted by exchange rate and M&A activities. The organic sales growth at the capital goods was on average almost 8%, while material activities grew 3%. The quarter-on-quarter decline was, besides some billing-related lower sales at IS, especially driven by the material businesses. Sales at MX came out at 3.4 billion, quarter-on-quarter down by 10%, reflecting seasonality and naturally, again, the strike at AST.
Sorry, I have to interrupt the call because we're hearing that the line is very weak, so we have a very bad connection. We are going to restart the conference call again, and then we'll continue with the presentation. Yeah, just a second, please. So it gives me.
Ladies and gentlemen, please hold. Your conference will recommence shortly.
We just learned that the connection for some of you was quite difficult. So our suggestion is the following. I continue my part of the presentation, and if you missed any point, please do not hesitate to come back to it in a Q&A session. So let me continue with the development of sales at our steel Euro business, which came out at 2 billion, which was quarter-on-quarter down by 8%. This is reflecting the production constraints as a consequence of a delayed completion of the cluster modernization, and consequently, out of that, by lower shipments, which were quarter-on-quarter down by 10% at 2.55 billion tons. Sales in Americas came out at 502 million euros, quarter-on-quarter down by 8%, reflecting again some production constraints as a consequence of converted Dynta, and consequently, we had some lower shipments from CSA, which were down by 10% to 915,000 tons. Nevertheless, the production level was at 1 million tons.
Well, that I'll take over for the EBIT figures. Year on year, the EBIT adjusted in Q1 increased by 29% to 317 million. Virtually all business areas could improve their EBIT adjusted contributions. The lower EBIT adjusted at Material Services is completely explained and only related to the negative contributions from the AST strike, which was obviously therefore negative. On components, year on year and quarter on quarter, we had an increase to 67 million in EBIT adjusted in Q1, and this was mainly driven by efficiency improvements. The year-on-year margin decline is reflecting a mix effect with this time strong sales contributions from the assembly of axle modules. On elevators, the EBIT adjusted and the margin improved again year-on-year for 9 quarters in a row now and reflects consistent progress of our performance program. Margin improvement was a little bit cushioned by the negative effects from the strike at our French operations. At IS, but we're definitely sure on elevator to come back to our improvements of 0.5 to 0.7 percentage points per year. Although you saw 0.3 here quarter on quarter, we're definitely sure that we will get back to our announced range. On IS, the EBIT adjusted at IS was a slight increase year on year, with however billing related some lower margins. On Steel Europe, we saw quarter on quarter significantly higher EBIT adjusted, and this reflects mainly higher but still a bit constrained production volumes following the restart of blast furnace number 2. The crude steel production, including slabs from HKM, was quarter on quarter up by 18% to 3 million tons. We have an improved fixed cost dilution, lower maintenance and repair and raw material costs, as well as it's reflecting all the efficiency gains that we have from our best-in-class reloaded. Reduced weekly working hours for pay-scale employees have become effective October 1st, 2014, so this was already in place for the first quarter. At Americas, quarter-on-quarter, we have higher EBIT adjusted, despite the lower production that was quarter-on-quarter down, as Heinrich already mentioned, and shipment volumes with a converter repair and the downtime in November. But this reflects, again, our impact measures and our improved performance, lower raw material costs, and less negative translation effects related to the Brazilian currency-based sales tax asset. The operating progress brings us positive net income in Q1 of 43 million, or 9 cents per share, which compares to a net loss of last year of 70 million and minus 12 cents per share in the prior year quarter. After all our special items, EBIT from continuing operations came in at 285 in the reporting quarter. Special items included in particular the updated valuation of our long-term freight contract at Americas, as well as restructuring and disposal-related effects at Material Services. The relatively high tax rate in Q1 is by 69% is mainly explained by somewhat unfavorable country mix and still some significantly declining but still negative effects from not capitalizing tax loss carry forwards at CSA. The full year tax rate is expected to be at a more normalized but still a bit elevated level at about 50%. It's still that we have to pay taxes in countries where we make money and cannot capitalize as we would like to in loss-making countries. So this unfavorable situation will come down a bit, but still be around. Quarter-on-quarter, net debt went up, as we already indicated in our last conference call, by about 0.5 billion to 4.2 billion. Free cash flow before divest came out at 651 negative, so well in line with a mid to high three-digit negative range we indicated in our last call. This mainly reflects, as we told, aperiodic net working capital items, and let me explain them a bit more. At Components, we had to build a bit of inventory to prepare the repair of our biggest stamping line in Danville, so we can ensure delivery performance when this line is down, and it's going to be down overall for more than 4 months, almost 5 months where it's out. At IS, we had temporarily negative cash flows in Q1, reflecting a billing-related shift in milestone payments, and last year, if you compare it, Marine Systems, we had a huge order intake from Singapore and therefore had down payments coming in last year. So this picture really changed completely because of this one-time effect last year. So this has to be reflected definitely if you take a Q-on-Q comparison. And Material Services, we had a big order coming in at VDM, which required some pre-financing of net working capital. And at Steel Europe, we saw the expected normalization of inventories after the relining of the blast furnace. All in all, we would quantify these aperiodic effects of about 500 million. So out of the 651 negative you saw, around 500 are due to these effects. Cash in from divestment was mainly related to the aforementioned sale of the Brazilian industrial service provider. That brought overall our gearing up to a level of 145%. Besides the temporary net debt increase, this reflects mainly the low interest rate environment, which led to a revaluation of pensions with the associated negative, but let me state that clearly, non-cash effect on the book equity. It's purely an accounting effect. With the discount rates, especially for pensions in Germany, having gone down quarter on quarter by 50 basis points, the actuarial losses came out at gross 538 or 374 after taxes. And we expect them for the next quarter, if the environment continues the way it is, to go down even a bit further. But this is a timing issue on the free cash flow and a non-cash issue on our equity. And therefore, the negative Q1 free cash flow versus full year expectation will help us to gain back traction on the gearing figure. And let me clearly confirm you here, as we are on our way forward, moving ahead nicely, and we're in line with our operational performance, and this is not cash related, we do not intend, because of this temporarily increased gearing position, any capital increase here to cover the weaker balance sheet from these accounting issues. And I would clearly say that even with going down of the pensions further, we might even for the next quarter see another increase in gearing. But for year end, with the cash flow, we will see further improvements then. So don't be bothered by that. This doesn't have any cash effect and does therefore implicitly not occur to our operational performance and financial situation overall here. With that, coming to the outlook of Q2, we expect earnings and cash flow progression in Q2 to develop well in line with our full year targets. So the group EBIT adjusted should show another significant increase, with virtually all BAs expected to improve quarter on quarter, apart from seasonally lower earnings at ET. This is Chinese New Year that we have to face here, but this is a normal effect we see every year. So year on year, the year over year figures will be good. Stable contributions from AM, reflecting higher volumes against lower selling prices and a somewhat more negative corporate line. But CT should be broadly stable year on year, as the repair of the stamping line, which caused a bit of the net working capital build in Q1. ET should continue to improve sales, even in margins compared to the prior year period for the 10th quarter in a row. IS should be broadly stable year on year and up quarter on quarter. Material Services definitely has to be up quarter on quarter, as the negative effects from the strike should largely fall away. Steel Europe should be slightly up quarter on quarter, with higher volumes more than compensating for the lower average selling prices. Free cash flow before divesting Q2 is also expected to show significant improvement quarter on quarter as well as year on year to a low three-digit negative figure. But please bear in mind, two-thirds of all our interest payments are due in Q2, like in the last years as well. Therefore, we always have some burden in the Q2 for the full year, and the second half of the cash flows at ThyssenKrupp is usually the strong cash contributor, as it was last year's, It will be this year again, and we reconfirm that for the full year, we intend to be break-even here. We have made important progress overall in de-risking the group and improving the performance ambition across the entire organization. We have once again delivered on our operational milestones in Q1, and thus confirmed our full-year outlook. We're far away from acceptable or even targeted levels, but still, the strategic way forward gaining visible traction, and the financial KPIs start to build an encouraging profile on the back of the measures of our impact program. And of course, the impact program will not stop at the end of 14-15. We will continue with the improvements that form the basis of this program. This leaves a lot of homework and improvement potential at every BA, and thus a clear value upside on our journey going forward.
Yeah, thank you very much, Guido. Thank you very much, Heinrich, for your presentations. With that, we come to the Q&A session. And in order to make sure that many people have a chance to ask their questions, we would ask you to only ask two questions per person. And with that, I would like to ask the operator to please take over.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, it is star and one on your telephone keypad. And your first question comes in the line of Michael Schillaker from Credit Suisse. Please ask your question.
If I'm asking what you already answered, but the line, as you know, was pretty tricky at the start. First of all, in Industrial Solutions, I know you're saying that it all looks pretty robust, but when I look at the order book down 12% quarter on quarter, and I don't see a lot of seasonality normally in that business, is this just lumpy, or is it something that we should be a little bit more concerned about, given the context of obviously one of your competitors, FL Schmidt, yesterday talking about geopolitics uncertainty hurting the order book, and you seem a little bit more sanguine about the environment. So could you give us some comments on that? And my second question in steel is, given that steel prices are down going forward, and it doesn't look as though there's an awful lot, given what's going on in export markets, a lot of prospect of steel prices going up. In fact, the risk is probably that they actually fall further. How does your raw material hedging progress through the year? Because obviously you're buying raw materials in dollars, I guess hedged still at a much stronger dollar euro. How does the hedging move through the coming quarters? Thanks very much.
Yeah, let me take the question on Industrial Solutions. As we said, clearly the figure, if you look overall, is unbelievably strongly impacted by the missing marine systems order. So that's the reason why we said without that we were growing by 5%. I think we were quite happy that in the present environment on our resource technology side we could be flat. That means we clearly had a reduction on the mining side, but we could fully compensate that with a strong demand in cement. So really our new structure where we combine those business now pays off because we can use the resources. It's quite interesting. We have expected, let's say, some reduced momentum in the funnel on our chemical side, but as I said, the call for quotations is not going down. The funnel activity is there. Nevertheless, going forward, we believe that decision-making of our customers in fertilizer and shale gas projects, I think they would like to see to understand in full how long this might work out. But there are projects, so we believe, maybe not, let's say, as fast as we expected, but they will come along. And our global footprint is now an opportunity. As I said, we could book two alkaline lines in France and Cuba, and therefore our chemical business was growing. This was the main driver for the plus 5%. Yeah? So we watch it carefully. We do not deny the risk as others do. But so far, it's all intact.
Yeah, let me come back to the steel prices. Yes, they're down, but that was largely, from our point of view, raw material driven over the last year, where they were going down sharply. And we see somewhat of bottoming out now, but if you take a look at our results and the effects from our big reloaded program, I mean, we could significantly improve our EBITDA per ton. I mean, we're at 78 now for the last quarter, which was a strong result. And now going forward, it takes half a year till you have all the raw material results through your P&L, as you have pretty long line beforehand when they are on the water until you have them in your blast furnace. and produce all your materials, so that the raw material goes and the raw material effects of the pricing really go down completely through the P&L would take some time, which will help. Price movement, I think let's wait and see where it will go in Europe. We do not see an increase of imports coming from Russia so far to address this issue, but definitely price-wise that could make sense, but it would rather be on spot and markets where we're not that strong. On the other hand, what we see with a weaker euro, imports from other parts of the world, especially Asia, are not that attractive anymore. So let's wait and see how this balances out through the whole year. And some of our competitors in their calls have been rather positive going forward.
Just to make that clear, Michael, in the last three quarters of 2014, the import figure was going down. So in December, we had an import of slightly above 900,000 tons, which reflects 12%. The majority was coming China, Russia was smaller. So far, we see not another trend that it will increase, but we watch it carefully.
Okay, very clear. Thanks very much.
And your next question comes from the line of Alessandro Butti from JP Morgan. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon. My two questions are the following. On the elevators and this record order intake, you're flagging that most of it is coming from North America, also China and Korea. How you reconcile basically shrinking market condition as far as elevators concern, also according to the reports of your competitors, and the increase in EBIT that you see coming from China as well? Is there any kind of strategy that you're implementing in a particular way, or is part of your aggressive expansion in terms of sales network and so forth? And the second one is just going back to the prior question on steel margin. It's clear that it takes a bit of time before you get the pass-through to your P&L of lower raw material costs. But on like-for-like comparison, stripping out the negative effect of the one-off that you got in the blast furnace in your fiscal Q4, H1 2015 margins, steel margins for flat steel versus H2 calendar 14 steel margin, do you expect that they're going to go up? Thank you very much.
Yeah, let me come to the elevator business. Naturally, as we always stated, our mid to long-term perspective is that we do not assume in our planning going forward that we can continue to grow in China with 25 to 30% year on year. But I can tell you that even in local currency in Q1, we had a double-digit growth. Clearly, from a global perspective, it was further inflated by the exchange rate RMB to euro. But also in local currency, it was a double-digit growth. And as I said, the other two more favorable markets was again America's new installation coming back, and this is a large market, so let's say even if it's not double-digit, single-digit, it contributes a lot, and South Korea. So I think it's well in line with our expectation. Nothing we have to change on the elevator side.
Yeah, and coming back to your steel question, yes, H1 15 should margin-wise be above H2 14.
Thank you very much. Just basically follow up on Irish answer. What I'm interested in is that in China it seems that there is erosion of domestic market share in favor of external player. Are you gaining market share at the moment in China as far as the delivery of business concern? Thank you.
You know, it's difficult to judge that. We have the figures and it's obvious that we have gained market share in the last fiscal year. But I would not make such a judgment after Q1. I think the double-digit growth at least indicates that we have not lost. But we have to assess in more detail. This is difficult after 3 months to make such a judgment. So here I would rather come back, you know, because we have these Q1 figures not statistically to check that. But I think at least the double-digit growth means we have not lost anything. But we have to see the overall picture.
Yeah, and still, for us, China has a lower share in our overall revenues as we're smaller in the market than some of our competitors. So our development doesn't have to be closely connected to them.
Thank you very much.
And your next question comes from the line of Engo Shakel from Commerzbank. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon. My two questions would be on elevators and components technology. On elevators. Your order intake growth rate, of course, looks a bit lower than peers at first glance, but you had some special effects, I would assume, in France and China. Could you help us understand a bit better how you performed in the other markets versus your competitors? Could you give us a rough indication where your organic order intake growth elevators, excluding France and excluding China, may have been during the first quarter? And on China, I think there has been this perception, which is probably wrong, but which is nevertheless there, that some of your competitors turned a bit more cautious on China in the last few weeks. Is there anything specifically you've seen in your order intake or so that would give you an impression that something has changed materially in the Chinese market in January or December specifically? On components technology, I heard your comments regarding axle modules being very strong and the corresponding mix effect. Nevertheless, even if I were to assume that even if all of the revenue growth was just axle modules, the incremental margin looks very low to me. Could you just shed a bit more light on, or give us a little bit more color to understand why, given the very strong top-line growth, EBIT should have not grown more strongly, maybe by quantifying the growth rate in axle modules or by flagging certain pockets of price pressure, other mix effects or R&D ramp-ups that you may be seeing in other parts of Performance Tech?
Let me come back first to the elevator side. I think the comparison to competitors, you are the better one to do it because you listen to all of us. But let me come back to the concerns of China. I think one of the differences in the description going forward was that we, as ThyssenKrupp, always said, for the mid and long term, we believe that market is rather going to 6 to 8%. As I said, we clearly also stated we do not know the pace. We fight for every elevator we can get on reasonable terms. And with that approach and also our regional expansion, because this is, I think, the beauty of our business, that we still can grow regionally, we achieved also in local currency double-digit growth. Clearly, it was not anymore about 30, but it was still double-digit. So we do not see a significant change in the markets right now in China.
Yeah, and coming back to components, indeed, the major part of the margin was indeed a bit of a shift to in the mix to the axle production. But what we have clearly is with the stamping line in Danville, we have some repair costs, and pre-producing the crankshafts was not at the same cost level as we usually have. So we had some smaller effects coming out of that, and we had another smaller issue on the dampers, which we had to fix sort of one time. So overall, there's underlying not a negative trend behind it, and we will see them coming back.
Maybe I might add to China. I understand that concerns, but please keep in mind that also, a change in China might have an impact on our growth momentum. It has no impact on our capability to move towards the 15%, because we have moved our China business in a way that it's right on the level of the business area. So if it grows faster, it will not add too much. If it goes lower, it will not take away too much. So this is really the robustness of our elevator business.
Okay. I think the point on China is understood, and thanks for that. Maybe it came across as being too China-focused. We obviously had that debate already quite a few times. My main point of interest was actually more France. Can you give us a rough indication what the rate of order intake decline in France was due to the strikes and other effects that you've had?
It's difficult to judge today. The only thing what we can state is that in the new installation, we have the lowest level since 10 years in France. From a market perspective.
Okay, thanks.
And the strike was mainly affecting the capability to produce elevators, which we can always cover from other locations later on. But that was affecting mainly the strike was on the plant itself.
And the profit side.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And your next question comes from the line of Seth Rosenfeld from Jefferies. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Seth Rosenfeld from Jefferies. A couple of questions on the outlook for Steel Americas. You reported a pretty solid quarter here in the last quarter of the calendar year. Can you just comment on the impact of what were quite strong U.S. HRC prices in the period in boosting margins? Clearly, we're seeing a quite dramatic fall in HRC prices over the past couple of weeks. What do you expect to be the impact on your Brazilian profit margin moving forward? Similarly, beyond that, can you just comment on the impact of Brazilian real weakness on perhaps supporting margin for the time being? Thank you.
Maybe before Guido takes the real, let me just come on the market condition. Naturally, we have recognized that steel prices are going down in U.S., driven primarily by the higher imports, but also by the fact that scrap prices went down significantly. But in knowing that, it does not change our outlook that for the full year, we will targeting a break-even for Americas as a whole.
Yeah, because we will continue to work on our performance in there and widen our production overall. And the real accounts for about 30% of the cost base. So it remains to be seen where that's going to develop over time. And the iron ore prices went down up to now. So, yes, the U.S. hot-rolled coil will affect us because our contract, as you know, is based on hot-rolled prices in the U.S. But nevertheless, net, we want to be at least breaking.
To follow up on that, I know that the sales to Mittal are contractually linked to the U.S. HRC price. For your other sales into the U.S., perhaps the California steel, are those also contractually or just kind of indirectly negotiated linked to the HRC price?
We have a different price scheme. It's not HRC based.
Okay. And could you just confirm in the last quarter, what was the mix of your shipments by destination between the U.S., Brazil, and export to LATAM?
The U.S. overall, as we have California Steel and ArcelorMittal there, accounts for above 60%, 65% of the shipments. Then among the rest, we have Brazil, we have Europe, and we have other markets. So we sell on the world market as well. As our cost base in Brazil has come down quite significantly, we're now competitive on that level as well.
Great. Thank you very much.
And your next question comes from the line of Jeff Largey from Macquarie. Please ask your question.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. I wanted to ask about free cash flow, so maybe this is more for you, Guido. If we look at your guidance for the first half of the fiscal year, I mean, obviously it digs quite a hole in terms of meeting your full year guidance, so it implies a very strong recovery in free cash flow in the second half of the year. I was just wondering if you could kind of revisit and go through, like as we look through the progression, and it probably has to be something over a billion euros of free cash flow in the second half of the year to meet your guidance. Can you basically put in the buckets or help us kind of get a sense of, what portion of that comes from stronger underlying earnings, what portion on like the prepayments you mentioned, if there's a working capital component involved, just to get an understanding of where that cash flow generation is coming from?
Yeah, no, clear. As you clearly said, the second half has to be clearly stronger, but keep in mind that on the earnings, as we clearly said, we will improve in the second quarter, but the biggest part of our earnings, what we will have out of the above 1.5 billion, the second half is going to be stronger on that one. So therefore, from the underlying EBIT figures, it's going to come a lot more. Then we have seen a couple of effects, like stamping line, like relining and all that, or prepayments according to a big order intake at VDM that should smoothen out over time. So the cash that comes out of the operations from the net working capital side, you see quite some increase over Q1 now compared to year end, which should be away by then. So working capital is going to help a lot. And on top of that, below the businesses, interest, for example, and parts of the tax are heavier in the first half than in the second. So therefore, if you take a look back at our performance on cash flow over the last years, you will always see that the second half is stronger than the first one, and that a shift, even like you mentioned, a high three-digit number, better than the first, that's doable. Yeah,
so it's
not without reference.
So it sounds like you have very good line of sight on this cash flow profile.
Yes. I'm monitoring it since I'm here very, very closely, and so far we've always mapped it.
Okay, great. And on just quickly on the second question was just to kind of revisit some of the initial comments on AST. It didn't come across very clear. I guess I just wanted to get some assurance that, you know, we've had the strike, but are all the issues at AST behind us? So now going forward, it's really just focused on, you know, executing the restructuring of that business.
You know, execute is part of the thing that we have some points in front of us. But what is important, in my introduction I said, we had to take the pain of the strike in order to reach our positions. I think finally we got this agreement in December. From today's standpoint, more than 300 people have already left the company, so we will have savings on personal costs starting in January. What we are doing right now, as these people, let's say, are definitely not at the spot or in one shift, we are now reorganizing the shifts so that we are back on a, let's say, a best organized operation in Q3. The most important thing clearly going forward is the following. The agreement which we have signed in December is not sacrificing at all our plans to move to total saving of 100 million euro per year after full implementation of all measures. This was quite decided, and this is also the reason why we have accepted, you know, the pain of the strike, because we did not make compromises which hurt our capability to improve the businesses going forward.
But nevertheless, the 100 million, let me be very clear on that, will not come in one year.
No, it's a multi-year.
It's a multi-year program, therefore, which finally might end in shutting down one of the electric arcs, which we still can do, and the union agreement does not, in any case, stop that one. So it's a multi-year approach. The 100 million will not be compared to last year.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Thanks for the clarification.
The next question comes from the line of Bastian Synagowitz in Deutsche Bank. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. My first question is on FX. I guess the elevator business and industrial solutions as well as components should be benefiting quite a bit here from FX translation. Could you give us a bit of clarity on how much this impact was actually helping in Q1 and how much was hedged and will therefore be only realized in the second quarter and later? And then my second question is on pensions. So far, 1 billion pension delta for 1 percentage point on the interest rate was a very good, so to say, rule of thumb, but obviously the impact gets larger the closer we the interest rates move to zero. So maybe you could give us some guidance here on what another 50 bips on the discount rate would do you to the pension deficit. Thank you.
From Forex, we didn't have big effects in Q1 because it was just for a certain period of time included. So the major effects we will see throughout the year, and as we said, just like for like, they should be positive and be adding, therefore taking away a lot of the negative sentiment we've seen when we came out in November with our guidance. So it's going to be helpful, but we haven't seen big effects so far. If it stays the way it is, we should see a bit more. On the pensions, you're right, the closer you get to the zero, the bigger the impact in general. But still, for 50 basis points, it's something like 500 to 600 million for another move. We would see why. We have a very aged and old plan. 80% of our German plan is already retired people at the age, on average, of 75. So, and it is different to, let's say, a long-term or never-ending obligation. If the interest rate goes down to zero on pensions, you have the nominal value of that, because that doesn't change the longevity of the people. So they will pass away one day. It's not an eternal obligation that we have here. So the effect does increase a bit, but not that much.
Okay, thank you. Just to follow up on the FX part, could you quantify the effect a little bit more? I mean, like just on the quarterly run rate, I mean, does a, say, 20 million for those?
No, it was a very low two-digit number. And always keep in mind, the Swiss franc goes against us. We produce a bit in Swiss francs.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Alexander Hauenstein from MainFirst Bank. Please ask your question.
Hello. Thank you for taking my questions. First of all, a quick one. Could you quantify the strike impact at AST, if possible? And second, there has been also an impact in Q1 on which you named production constraints, obviously, in the steel part, Steel Europe. Is there anything left for Q2, or could there even be some catch-up effect here if these constraints have been solved now? And maybe also follow up on the steel side, Steel America's impact of the converter repair in Q1. Thank you.
Yeah, on the strike on AST, it's a two-digit number. And if you see the performance gap that is coming compared to previous year, it's largely due to what we have seen there on material services. So you can have some sort of thought on that one. Production in Steel Europe will not be affected by anything in Q2, so we are back in full production. Therefore, this should be working. And the converter repair was a lower two-digit amount. Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Sylvain Brunet from BNP Paribas. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. First question, if I may come back to the order intake outlook from Industrial Solutions, and I'm thinking more like from a Plant Tech. If you could give us a little bit more granularity on the, and give us maybe a sense of the book-to-build ratio by subdivision, so if we think process, resource, and system, that was my first question. Second one on the steel side, I'm thinking Europe. Could you comment on the spread between your contract negotiation and the spot market or quarterly market? Would you say the spread has reduced somewhat this year or is flat year on year? Thank you.
You know, we have never outlined the book-to-bill, on the different elements. I think I come back what I said, that we were luckily flat on our resource energy, with mining being down a little bit and fully compensated by cement. We were up, and this was primarily the driver of the 5% in chemical plants, and we were on a prior level in our system engineering business. So, let's say the reduction comes only for marine systems. I think we should stay with that one, because then you can easily, I think, make your predictions.
Yeah, and on the steel side, I mean, clearly we improved our results. The spread must have improved, but we think largely due to our cost reduction measures that we have indeed undertaken with our big reloaded program. That was the key driver of it.
Thank you.
And your next question comes from the line of Herman Reif from BHF Bank. Please ask your question.
Hello, gentlemen. Also, a follow-up question on Sylvain's question on Big Reloaded. Could you please quantify the net effect on EBIT adjusted of Big Reloaded in Q1?
Oh, largely our improvement comes out of Big Reloaded. Nothing more and more detailed.
But the total will amount to 600 million in the current fiscal year. Could you please give us a breakdown by quarters of the 600 million?
No, but what we've
what
decided
are the targets are.
The program overall has a 500 million impact.
500.
The biggest part of that will be due this year, and that's why we have given out a guidance that we see a significant improvement of Steel Europe this year, because these effects, the big part of the Big Reloaded program, will come through this year through the P&L. So, you know, and you have seen in Q1 a significant improvement. So therefore, I think it's all pretty much in line with what we've said.
What was the effect of shortening the work time?
We had an effect coming from 34 hours, and we pay now something like 32. But working hour reduction was equivalent to cutting 1,300 full-time employees.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Carsten Rieck from UBS. Please ask your question.
Thank you very much. First question on the cash flow as well. I get this that your inventory position should actually decrease. But what I notice is that on the payables, we see an increasing widening of payable days. what happened in this position, and is it likely that we actually see it reverse or not? The second question is on the component margins and industrial solutions. In your fiscal year 15 outlook, you talk about slight increase or stable margins. So far, we have seen year over year rather the opposite. Is there any improvement going forward, and from where should it come? Thank you.
Yeah, and again, let me come on free cash flow. What you see in the net working capital usually in the Q1, you've seen a widening of our inventories. If you take a look at the cash flow statement, it was widening. And so we had to acquire quite a bit more. Don't take only the balance sheet figures. Balance sheet figures are in the changes affected by Forex. On the payables, they are lower seasonally. The receivables, sorry, are going down in the fourth calendar year quarter, and the payables widened a bit, but it's all in line with usual developments we've seen, so I don't see any structural change. We're still working on improving our DIOs, DSOs, and DPOs, and we're developing nicely, but for year-end, there's to come something that's clear, as you mentioned. On components, given your statement, we have seen the opposite. Come on, it's 0.2% in margin compared to prior year level. We're not talking about huge amounts. If you find a couple of million, it's exactly the same. So we have the stamping line, which we have to repair here. We had some smaller one-time issues on repair works somewhere else. So this was affecting a bit the quarter that we can come back for the full year to the same level as we have seen last year. I mean, it's not a huge step, so that should be achievable.
I think just to highlight again, Component Technology is the unit which is the one which is impacted by the Swiss franc to euro setback, because we have one manufacturing plant for steering in that, let's say, currency market. And this is now what they need to compensate in the second half of the year.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Rossus Brauntizer from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please ask your question.
Yes, hi everybody. Rossus Brauntizer, Kepler Cheuvreux. Just two questions. One is on the marine system business, actually. Can you comment a bit on how you see your position in terms of this Australian order, and what is the idea if you would win that order? Would there be any local content you're planning? I recall that you've done this acquisition in Australia a few years back in time. Was that kind of an engineering company, or what kind of asset actually was that, what you acquired? Secondly, could you drop us a number on the EBIT of VDM in the first quarter? And thirdly, on Steel Americas again, your guidance is telling us that you're expecting a break-even in Steel Americas in the second half, following a break-even in the first half, even though, obviously, steel prices in the U.S. have fallen off the cliffs. So what are the bits and pieces working against that? Because at the time when you gave the guidance, steel prices were still higher. So what is the buffer? What is the incremental improvement you're getting elsewhere to neutralize that market erosion in the U.S.? That's it from my side.
Let me jump first on for Australia. Just to make it clear, Australia will not be awarded in 2015. This is still a process out. Our position was the following, that we are trying to convince the stakeholders in Australia that they go for a competitive bidding phase. Because, you know, the position of the government in Australia has slightly changed. There was, at the beginning, a favor for a direct award to Japan. We have seen it significantly changed in recent months. And now it's going more in a proposal which, let's say, where local manufacturing is regaining some value. Our comment was always the following. We are not shy of competing. Secondly, our capability, we have demonstrated often, includes 100% local manufacturing to 0% local manufacturing. So we are able to respond exactly to the final political decision. And this is what we are working on. And this, I think, it's moving in the right direction, that at least the likelihood is growing that the Australian government is going for a competitive bidding phase. And if we are in that process, I think then we have a better chance to assess both the timetable and our chances to succeed.
Coming back to your question on VDM, they were in line with our plan and they were positive in the first quarter, so developing according to our plans that we had. And in the first quarter, we could sign with the unions the restructuring that we wanted to do close to before Christmas. So we're well on track with our restructuring plan on VDM. On the Americas, again, yes, prices are going down on the hot rolled coil price, but they're still above Europe. So please keep that in mind. So if we improve our performance overall in Americas, in CSA, why shouldn't we be able to sell them on a level that we can get it to EBIT zero? So we still have some improvements that we can get done in Brazil.
Okay, fair enough. On this Australian deal, on this Australian order again, when you said you can offer anything between a 0 or 100% local content, what is the role of this company you acquired? Was that a small engineering office or how
it's
big?
It's an engineering company, definitely. It has a capability to, translate our global knowledge about these submarines to connect it really to the specific of the Australian Australian marine.
Okay, thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. That's star and one to ask a question. And your next question comes from the line of Christian Obst from Baader Bank. Please ask your question.
Yes, hello and good afternoon. First of all, concerning Steel Europe, is the reduced working hour a part of the Big Reloader program or comes that on top of that? This is just some kind of an easy question, I hope. And the next one is Impact runs out at the end of this year and you gained a tremendous at least 2.5 million from this program. But going into the next business year, consensus stood at approximately 2 billion of an EBIT, and this is also your guidance, but you don't have some additional program. So what might be the main part to tackle additionally to get to this number of 2 billion? Thank you.
You know, hopefully, after we have proven that we deliver on the 2.5 billion going forward, it's good enough if we just guide on the EBIT and you trust us that we will execute the figures. All the measures will continue to run, you know. We have forced all our business areas to start efficiency programs. In addition, we drive our joint program on purchasing. And we have now added additional programs on the IT and on the process automation side. So we have already started today initiatives which will add to our competitiveness going forward.
Yeah, and on procurement, it will continue the same way as we do right now. It was important back in 2011 to clearly show what we have in mind, what we can achieve internally as externally, to clearly document how we want to see and where we imagine that the turnaround could happen. I think that's now done. So we continue to work on the plans and will improve our EBIT, therefore, going forward. Our efforts are not less, definitely not. On Steel Europe, Big Reloaded always included the reduction of the working hours.
Okay, thank you very much.
And we have a follow-up question from the line of Alessandro Abbasi from JP Morgan. Please ask your question.
Just a follow-up question on AST. I mean, considering the AST and VDM, of course, not really within your portfolio probably in the next few years, is there any kind of potential technical hurdle that could hold you back from eventually selling the electric arc furnace not in use interne? Just a curiosity question. Thank you.
I'm not aware of any. No. If you want to have it, give us a call.
Could you repeat again, because I couldn't hear it.
Okay. No, we don't see anything that's holding us back from selling it. So if you want to have it, just give me a call.
Just to make it clear, when we have taken it back...
Thanks for the answer. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I think just to make it clear, when we took it back, we did not get any limitation from the European Antitrust Authority. We are free to run and operate the asset by ourselves or even to do a sale or something else. There is no boundary on that one.
Thank you very much.
We have no further questions, so I'd now like to hand back to Dr. Ehrenbeck.
Okay, yeah, thank you very much, operator. And also thank you all for joining us today for the conference call. As always, we are there for you. The entire IR department is waiting for your questions, and we look forward to continuing the dialogue. Thank you very much, and look forward to speaking with you next time. Bye-bye.